Sell me your car today. This is Clay Edwards, and I want to buy your car, truck, or SUV today. Are you tired of dealing with all the marketplace maniacs and the Craigslist crazies? I hear nightmare stories every day about counterfeit checks for vehicles here in central Mississippi. Did you know if you get ripped off with a counterfeit check, your insurance company will not cover you? Let me make you a fair market value offer for your vehicle today. Contact me today at claybuyscars.com. That's claybuyscars.com. We are live. You've tuned in to the Free Range Human Show of Choice, your daily dose of reality radio. This is the Clay Edwards Show. I'm, of course, Clay Edwards. In the co-captain chair, my good friend and yours, our favorite blue-haired, fondren liberal, Sean Yurt-Karan. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Pretty good. Man, it's a nice morning drive, isn't it?
It was a good morning drive. I did have one a-hole get behind me with the bright lights on, but you know, per usual, I'm in the left lane. Mm-hmm. There's a vehicle in front of me only going 95, and somebody behind me is pissed off because I'm not going 105.
Okay.
And I refuse to get over in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going well beyond legal speed limit,
yeah,
you can go around me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I'm not going that fast either. Not anymore. Maybe when I was younger.
I mean, I'm going 80, 85, something like that. I'm not going 95. But, I mean, I'm just not getting over.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse. Like, where are the police pulling these people over that are going 90-something miles an hour? Why am I having to do y'all's job by keeping these people going slower?
I mean, just
keep these roads safe.
Was it in Jackson?
Of course it was in Jackson.
Did a
220. The 220, 500 every morning.
Did, you know, JPD years ago used to write speeding tickets all the time on I-55, I noticed. But I don't know. I'm knock on wood. I'm saying that they don't now. I don't know if they do anymore.
Man, they post up on 55. I don't know in the mornings. I'm never over there. But like sometimes midday, they'll get up under the Briarwood Bridge, under the Lakeland Drive Bridge, and they'll pop some people here and there. I remember about a year, 2 years ago, MHP decided to start doing tickets in the city limits.
Okay.
And of course, civil rights and racism and everything else got brought up, and they quit. Jacksonians love to be able to break the law. And anytime you try to enforce the law, they scream racism. I mean, the city sued itself over JPD doing roadblocks.
Yeah.
That's racisms, plural. Then the Highway Patrol tries to start slowing people down on 220. That's racisms, plural.
Yeah, didn't they pass that law where MHP could, like, pull you over in city limits now, a couple years ago, something like that.
So
Seems like we need all the help we can get. I guess I'm not against that, obviously.
No, I mean, it's just like, it's broken window law enforcement.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, if I start my day knowing I can go 100 miles an hour on the interstate, I'm like, well, you know, I feel like I can do anything.
Or even, you know, it's such simple as we always talk about running the stoplight. I mean, that happens when they're working, by the way, when they work.
So, usually when I go to my parents' house, I get off at Elton Road.
Okay.
Instead of going up to Byram and coming back down, because they look kind of in the middle there, over off Forest Hill Road. And there's a stop sign there at the Elton Road. When you get off then, if you're going south on 55, you get off at Elton, there's a stop sign for you. Turn left or right on Elton Road. More than once, I have stopped there. Just because it's a stop sign, I know that's a weird thing to do. And the car behind me honk before I could even stop all the way.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are y'all such a rush to get to?
I don't know. Maybe everybody's afraid of getting robbed if they stop too long. That was an issue at one point.
I lean more towards them being on their way to rob somebody.
Well, that could be it, too, I would think.
The dollar store up here on corner Elton and Terry is closed, and I'm trying to rob it before they go out of business.
It hasn't been hit up in a whole month, man. We can't, you know, going to make our quota.
Did you see where one of those dollar stores, they built a Dollar General and a Family Dollar right next door to each other on the corner of Terry and Elton Road a couple years ago. Both brand new, really nice buildings.
Yeah.
All things considered, they were actually brick, not metal.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, I think the Family Dollar is closing. And the people over there are all mad. We don't know why our stores are closing. Also, that store's been robbed 5 or 6 times.
You know, and you probably watched this the other day, but I know both of us always watch PBD, and they were talking about this exact same topic about stores in impoverished communities closing because they're like, and he just kind of said it like we said it a few weeks ago, If you can't make money, you can't have a business. Like, it's that simple, and I don't know where people don't understand that.
Well, when there, I see something, I know I did, I don't remember if it was local or if it was national, but they want to start punishing grocery stores, or they want to allow people to sue grocery stores that close down.
What?
Yeah. So, like, these ghetto communities that continue to rob and pillage, and poverty communities that continue to do bad business with the businesses that are there.
Mm-hmm.
They think those people should be able to sue if it was just, say, for example, Food Depot closes.
Okay.
Like, well, why? They're not government subsidized. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. I mean,
I wonder what the cause of action is for that.
Have y'all sell dope? You know how this works?
Yeah, I wonder what the cause of action is for that. I mean, what's the... Do they have the duty to stay? I don't know. My mind's spinning on that one.
It just screams Chakwe.
That's in his yellow suit. He probably was wearing the yellow suit when he was doing that.
Hey, speaking of... worst mayors in America. We have a competition of sorts going on.
Clay, there is no competition. Come on. We know who's got the award.
I know. I mean, I even tagged him on Facebook. I mean, on Twitter. And because when somebody shared this article, I said, yeah, hold on now. Y'all, I don't know how Chalkway's flying under the radar here.
Yeah.
But it ain't nobody worse than Chalkwe. Not Lori Lightfoot, not her predecessor, not this girl we're about to talk about here.
Yeah.
None of them. But I do find it comical that this girl is actually billed as the worst mayor in America. She's of Dalton Township or something like that outside Chicago.
Okay.
What's her name here? I got it right here. It's the village of Dalton in Illinois. Her name is Tiffany Hinyard.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany is... basically been running. I've watched several videos about her, and Tiffany's been running a racket. First off, you know, don't trust girls named Tiffany.
Yeah.
Even girls will tell you don't trust Tiffany's.
Tiffany's.
I've never actually had a bad experience with a Tiffany. I'm sorry, Tiffany's out there. It's an internet thing. It's like Karen. I just report the news here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
She's been running a racket. She's paying herself three. Keep in mind, less than or right at 100,000 people live in this community.
Okay.
Yeah, or less. And she's paying herself over $300,000. And she also holds another position as like basically a border supervisor in another town.
Oh, nice.
And she jerry-rigged the system over there where she's making like $250,000 on that, but the next person would only make like $25,000. If she gets unseated.
Mm.
So it's like there's no motivation for anybody to run.
Yeah, that's a good point. Why would you really take that kind of...
So, Tiffany here thought she would play the race card because the overwhelmingly majority black city is fed up with her nonsense.
Okay.
She's paying police overtime to be her personal security.
Oh.
She's riding around in a Bentley.
No, really?
Yes. Or Rolls Royce. I mean, one of those
things.
So, this is at a city hall meeting. Mm-hmm. And she tries to play the race card. And these are not white people booing. These are her fellow black brothers and sisters.
We're here to help each other, not hurt each other. And it's a shame that us, I'm talking about black and brown communities, will sit here and fight. It's a shame that y'all do this.
Okay.
It's a shame that y'all do this. It's a shame that y'all do this.
So what's she exactly doing right there? I'm confused.
That's a city hall meeting.
Yeah, I saw the video you sent me this morning.
And people are actually showing up, and they've been shouting her down, and they're mad.
What is she trying to say, though, I guess what I mean? Like,
she said, well, when people were upset with her, she was disappointed that it was her fellow black and browns.
Oh, okay. That, like, they shouldn't because... Okay, yeah.
I look like you.
So don't be mad. I thought it said something about her stealing money or something.
It's about a lot of that. That's what I'm saying. They're showing up to protest her.
Stealing the money.
Stealing the money.
Oh, okay.
You know, I know that's hard to wrap your head around here because Jacksonians would never show up and accuse Chalkway of anything.
Yeah, that's.
They just bow down at his yellow banana footsteps.
Well, just like I watched before we left here, I don't know if everybody saw it. He's again arguing with Ted Hennepin, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I think Ted's doing a good job. I think some of the fees that we're getting charged are a little ridiculous. But the fact that you have
consistent running water tells me he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job in that aspect. But Chalkwe is constantly in a fight with him. That he's not, I guess, communicating to the city, but he, you know, I think we may have talked about this, but Chalkwe had, had lied in his podcast about what the collection rates were that Jackson Water was doing. It completely, like, just made up numbers versus what his were in the last few years, and so I don't know exactly what his beef
Hold on, rewind.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He lied about whose numbers?
The collection rate for Jackson Water.
The collection rates for Jackson Water is in JXN Water?
Yeah.
Or the collection rates for when he was in charge of
both, water? Actually, is okay. The way I read it. I mean, I know that he did for JXN Water. And then, like, he had said that he had never gone, I believe, under 52% or 70%, some number like that. And I think it was C.J. LeMaster put that report, or Anthony Warren, one of the two, where, you know, in his first year, they collected like $61 million in revenue. And then the last year Jackson collected in 2021 was like $33 million. So he made up those numbers, too.
So he said that they collected more than they did?
Yeah.
When he was in charge of it?
Correct. Yeah, more than Jackson Water's doing it.
Ding, ding, ding. He's stealing money.
I mean,
he's admitting to it.
Well, that's why it seems like he's getting so mad about what, you know, what their role in this is. Well, I think we've kind of seen what their role is. It was called F It Up, right? That was the role, I mean, that we all experienced, and especially in 2021 and 22. Now that things are working, you know, albeit there's some bugs here and there and they're fixing it out, but whatever. Now he's mad, and I'm like, why are you mad? Couldn't you say, like, hey, my people have got water. My citizens have got water. But nah, we're not going to do that. That's crazy.
I know. He's being very defiant.
Yeah.
And, like, we're not going to take this. Not going to take what? People are paying their water bills because they're being forced to, because that's how bills work.
Sure.
You know, Sean, when I sold cars, I would ask somebody who their bank was. And they'd be like, such and such. I hate them. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they hate them because they don't pay their bills. And the banks have to call and constantly harass them for not paying their bills. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Jackson Water, right? If you think they're doing a terrible job if you don't pay your bill, and they cut your water off.
Yeah, that's a good point, right? I mean, you're like the credit card company that's mad at you because you haven't paid your payment.
Speaking of which. so it's comical. I don't know how anybody could take him serious. He dresses like a big gay banana, and he is accusing Jackson Water of not doing a good job as if he was doing a better job. Then his sister gets involved in all this with her Poor People's Campaign, mm-hmm. The irony of somebody rich running the Poor People's Campaign.
You got to be on the hustle, man. Come on, you know.
The intelligence of the city of Jackson insults me, or the lack of. And when I say the city of Jackson, I'm referring to everybody in it.
Yeah.
It's like that they allow this to go on. And then they get behind them like cheerleaders and rah, rah, rah. Yeah, you're right, man. Blackity, black, 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 or Chalkway do no wrong. It's just 30 years. It was everybody before you that's the reason bodies are piled up to the street. It's the reason it's everybody else before you why the red lights don't work. It's everybody else before you that the potholes are the size of craters and people are flying girls in from out of town to relax in them. Like a jacuzzi.
Right.
I saw that meme.
I did. I saw that too. I mean,
you know, it's just everything that's wrong with Jackson is because of 30 years before him, which, by the way, just to keep the record straight, was black Democrats as well, who did a terrible job.
You know, I think also if we look at it this way, I mean, since he's, I'm not saying the city was doing well prior to him being mayor. I mean, I think obviously it wasn't, and we all know that. But it's been really exacerbated in the downward direction. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that anybody, I think if anybody else got elected, no matter who it was, they would have done a better job.
Have you ever burned like an old tree on farmland? It's like an old tree fall, you burn it. You use diesel fuel, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what was happening with the previous regimes. It just had a steady burn. It was diesel fuel.
It's a good analogy. It's right. It was just kind of maintaining the mediocrity.
And what Chalkway has done is poured rocket fuel.
Yeah.
On it.
It's because, I mean, you think about it. We had, you know, obviously Frank, we've talked about it many times. And then Harvey was mayor there for, I think, one more term. And then Tony came in. And everything was kind of, you know, there was a bunch of killings. There was potholes. I feel like the traffic signals worked. I do remember that. I mean, this seems to be more of a new development that I don't recall being such a widespread problem. And I know I constantly joke about this, but I mean, it's really a dangerous situation. I was driving around Clay on Sunday morning, just taking pictures of all the lights that didn't work just around my neighborhood. And I know, you know, a lot more of them have been off because that storm's kind of, I think, knocked them off. But this is, you know, this is a pretty big problem. And I don't even recall that happening to this degree when everybody, you know, the other administrations were in power.
No, it's just, again, we can never go back to, like, can you tell me one thing
mm-hmm.
that we've done right?
Yeah. That's it. I don't know what it is. I mean, let me forget, the murder rate has substantially increased since the past administrations also. I mean, it's never been this high. And it's all started since he was elected.
And keep in mind, too, think of how many people had left the city.
Yeah.
And the murder population decrease, murder rate increase.
Which so creates a population decrease, right?
Yeah, so it's like the per capita of people dying. That's how Jackson ends up, and for people who don't understand basic math, well, how does Jackson end up the deadliest city in America? And we got, you know, it's only 100 and something murders. Well, yeah, but it's 100. It's a murder per every 1,000 people.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. It's. I mean, it's pretty. What do you say? It's pretty bad. I mean, I don't know, and it's just gotten so exponentially worse since he's become mayor. And this is where I was kind of going with this. Also, with those past administrations, the city was violent. I mean, when I was the DA's office, we knew that. We had tons of crime that we're dealing with. But I don't recall it being where that video you posted months ago about the Grand Theft Auto shooting kind of thing, right? Like, I didn't see stuff like that going on a daily basis, you know, on a weekly basis where that kind of just disregard for the law and every, you know, in that situation where people were pulling machine gun. I don't know if it's machine gun before anybody says anything, but just using this example, you know, they're not afraid, right? I mean, I think in 2013, I don't recall that kind of violence occurring, and it may have. I just don't remember it.
Exactly. Well, they're going to start releasing crime numbers again for the first time in, I think, 4 years. So I have no faith in them being correct. But this is a Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yurkron. We'll be right back on WYAB. And I promise the whole show ain't Jackson today. That was just something that kind of popped off here at the last minute that I wanted to get off my chest. So we'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment brought to you by our friends over at Mazda of Jackson. Guys, we'll sit down, buckle up, and hold on. We got some great specials to tell you about over at Mazda of Jackson. And just again, if you haven't been listening, I didn't know this until I went over there and got to meet the folks. Mazda of Jackson's locally owned. It's not some big chain like so many of the other dealerships in Jackson are. They're locally owned, locally operated, husband and wife duo. They sit there at the sales desk and run this thing. They got their hands on every deal, so they know what's going on. They're engaged, and I think it's so cool that they give their phone number out, their personal phone number, not some throwaway phone, not some go phone from Walmart. They give their phone number out to every customer that buys a car. Here's what else you get whenever you buy a car from Mazda, a vehicle from Mazda of Jackson. You're going to get a free 43-inch TV. With all purchases, Sean, it's time to trade the cruiser in.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a 2007 FJ Cruiser.
That thing's a bulletproof tank.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, I'm going to drive it till the wheels fall off. So,
well, when you decide to go get that other vehicle you've been speaking of,
a Mazda's a great car, though. We were talking about this the other day. How much, you know, I like Mazdas.
The CX-90 is supposed to be the creme de la creme.
Really?
Yep. But look, so speaking of which. They got some great specials going on right now. You know, everybody's complaining about interest rates. You know, you go try to buy a used car or anything, you know, interest rates are through the roof. Well, the best way to save money on interest, if that's your thing, is to buy a new vehicle from Mazda Jackson. Got 1.9% financing for 36 months on the all-new 2024 CX-30 Premiums. Then 3.9% for 60 months. On the 2024 CX-5 Carbon Edition, and you also get back $750 APR cash. Here's another thing.
That's a pretty great deal.
Here's another great thing here with Mazda of Jackson. All purchases come with a free, limited lifetime powertrain warranty.
Really?
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
I worked at a dealership that did those, and everybody always thought there was a catch to those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a few little things you got to, you know, I think you got to get your oil changed, get the service done at that place, little stuff like that. You
can't totally neglect the car, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as you, you know, follow a few little, you know, rules with it, they are legitimate. They are the real thing. And that's, if your motor blows up at 300,000 miles, as long as you were getting it, keeping it serviced, they're usually going to replace it.
Dang, so that's pretty awesome, actually.
It is. It's legit. Heck, I may need to add one to my car.
I mean, and I'm not kidding. Well, you were talking about Mazdas the other day, and I just, they're really, people sleep on them, but they're great cars.
They really are. Check them out online today, MazdaofJackson.com, located right there on 55 at Briarwood. All right, Sean. Well, first off, Guns and Gear text line is 769-241-1944. Speaking of Mazda of Jackson, the Mazda of Jackson phone line. If you guys want to call in with anything this morning, 601-879-0002. And also, a happy birthday to the girlfriend. She's a young 25 at heart today.
Oh, happy birthday.
So happy birthday to her. You know, she's probably asleep. She's been in here and there's no way. But just at the off chance that she isn't.
You can play it back on the podcast.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, speaking of phone calls, let's take a call this morning on the Mazda Jackson phone line. Good morning. You're on there.
Hey, Clay. It's Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, I was going to tell you that the other day I actually ran into the GM that was here closing that store.
I kind of missed that. Closing what store?
The Family Dollar store.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it's because they've been robbed 6 times and they can't find anybody to work because everybody knows it gets robbed.
That sounds about right.
So, anyway, just wanted to let you know, I did talk to the GM, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. They released a statement saying they're closing. Well, you know, I don't know why Jacksonians get so defensive about stuff closing. Like, no, they're closing a bunch of them.
Yes.
Yeah, because they keep building them in impoverished areas where people rob them.
And this was a black guy, you know, like the regional GM, and he was like, I mean, we can't find anybody, we can't keep anybody. He's like, because they all get robbed at gunpoint every single time.
Yeah. I mean, that should not be part of the job.
No. Sorry. Anyway, that's all I got to say.
Thanks, Anna.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, just to that point, that should never be part of the job requirement to have to get used to some 14-year-old, and I guarantee you most of these robberies are 14 to 17-year-olds.
100%, yeah.
You know, listening to some NBA young boy, then running in there and pulling a jack move.
Yeah, I mean, is it, you know, working for, I don't know what they pay, a dollar in general, maybe a little bit more minimum wage or whatever it is.
$7, $8 an hour, $10 bucks an hour.
And that, I mean, is that worth your life? Like, no. I mean, I don't blame these folks that I want to work there.
No, and, you know, it goes back to what I was just saying, you know, about, so they're saying, well, they're closing a bunch of stores. That's kind of their excuse to feel better about the fact that they're getting a store closed in their neighborhood because they're so violent. Well, yeah, but they didn't close all their stores. They picked the ones by design, which ones they said the juice is no longer worth the squeeze. And Jackson, of course, made the cut of the ones that were no longer worth the squeeze.
I mean, if a store's getting robbed, like she was saying, 6 times, I mean, that's good information right there. How do you stay in business like that, Clay? Like, if your store, I wonder what the time frame, I mean, I don't even care. I mean, let's say it's a year. Like, your store's been robbed 6 times in a year. Let me ask you this way. How do you interview an employee, a potential employee, to come work at your store and you tell them this? You say, look, you know, this is good job. We've got good benefits, but there has been 6 armed robberies in the past 12 months, and, you know, you may get killed. I don't know, but, I mean, how does that go?
Have your affairs in order.
Yeah, I mean, you got a will? I just don't know how that works. I mean, it seems like that's a hard way. I can totally understand what the GM had awfully said. Like, how do you retain somebody in that circumstance? And how do you continue to run your business and hire people knowing they may be in danger, that kind of significant danger? I mean, we're not talking about there was an armed robbery once in 1989 here. You know, that's a different scenario.
Bad. Like, if I'm a manager.
That's what I mean.
And I hire some young kid, and I put him on this night shift. Really, it don't even matter anymore, day shift, night shift, whatever. It's all high risk.
Sure.
And I had to sit there and knowing that I could very well be the reason they get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's what I mean.
Not directly, but, you know, indirectly, the guilt, it would eat me.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, you've owned a business. You take pride in your business, like, you really do. And, like, people that come work for you, you take pride in that kind of stuff. You want them to do well. And, you know, if somebody's working for me and they got shot in my law firm, I would, like, I'll lose my mind over that. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, Sean, we've talked about this a good bit. I mean, we're both smaller government guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want the government in our business, stuff like that. I agree with Stokes on this. Sometimes you have to call a spade and say, look, this whole town is just rotten. The culture is rotten. It's a high crime, high violent, high robbery town. Yeah. It just is what it is. I don't care who doesn't like it.
And we can't deny that. I mean, the evidence is clear, right?
Dollar stores and gas stations need to have a 24-hour security.
Yeah.
Especially these multi-billion-dollar corporations that run these dollar stores. Mm-hmm. They can afford it.
Yeah.
You can make an argument. I was in the convenience store business. It is a nickel and dime business. You should still be able to afford it. A lot of folks are just cheap. Heck, if you can't afford an extra $100 a night rent a cop, $200 a night rent a cop, mm-hmm. you probably don't need to be in business. But neither here nor there. Still think you need it, especially from say 5 o'clock to five p.m. to 6 a.m. I don't know. There's some magic number there where you can look at and say this is when it's the worst.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you want to stay open all night too, I think you know that's. I think maybe Stokes is right about that, right? That needs to be a requirement.
Well, yeah. And then like those dollar stores, look, that used to be a good area. I grew up in that area, mm-hmm. that Elton Road, Terry Road area.
Yeah, I mean, I joined the Marines right over there. You know, they had that, mm-hmm. that shopping center right over there. Yeah,
Elton something or another.
Mm-hmm. There was a Burger King right across the street. I used to go to all the time.
No, that's
Right, I'm thinking the same.
That's Cooper Road you're thinking of.
Thinking Cooper?
Yeah.
I'm thinking taking Elton, going that. Okay, I might have my direction.
Yeah, Elton didn't have anything in it, really.
No, I mean at the end of Elton, then you take a left right there. There's a big shopping center. Do you remember that?
Well, you took a left, and right on the right, in the bottom of the hill, there's a shopping center. But there's never been a Burger King over there.
Okay, maybe I was wrong with the. Okay, but I think I have the same shopping center in mind. But anyway, neither here nor there.
No, the military recruiting thing was down there at Red Hill.
Was that?
Okay. Over
it's on down Terry
by Witten.
Road?
Yeah, Terry Road. On the corner of Witten and, not Witten, on the corner of Terry Road and Cooper, basically.
That's what I'm thinking of, okay.
Across from the old South Jackson Abortion Clinic.
Is that what that was? I don't remember. Yeah, this was the 90s.
That they turned into a restaurant after the abortion.
No, clinic. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did they really?
It didn't last. I never went. Some friends of mine, Frank and Sherry, went.
Really?
Specifically, well, Frank did anyway. Him and Sherry married. Now, I specifically remember them saying, yeah, so we went and ate at the old abortion clinic. I'm like,
oh, man. I did not know that.
Couldn't do it.
I didn't know there was one on. I didn't know there was an abortion clinic in South Jackson ever. When was that?
Well, I remember. Okay, it's been pretty well documented that I haven't always been the good man of faith that I am now. I used to be a bit of a rebellion.
You say.
And I know that I remember in the early 90s because we were riding by one time, and the abortion activists were out there, and I was hanging my head out the window flipping on the bird or something. I was probably 16 years old, 15 years old.
Sure.
My hat flew off, and I just bought this $30 hat. You know, hats have always been $30. I don't know how hats haven't had to deal with inflation. They've just always been too expensive.
Of course. I went to Lids the other day and bought, it was like $54.
Yeah, right. And I know somebody's listening right now. There's caps, not hats. Whatever. Mm. Baseball cap, flat bill, Astros hat back in the early 90s with the broken star. That was the money shot. Anyway, I was hanging out the window, hollering at these folks out there protesting. Mm-hmm. My hat flies off. I make my guy, we're in a little mini truck. We turn around, go back and get my hat, and they gave me the hat and prayed for me. And it was one of those
moments. Oh, they did?
They did. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, oh, I felt a centimeter tall.
Yeah, being a jerk.
Yeah, just being a dumb kid.
Yeah, sure.
And it was one of those, like, I'm on the wrong side of this moment early on.
I don't know. I mean, as a 40-year-old man, I've yelled at those guys that, like, go in front of Finian's and they're in Fonder and they're like,
Church in the Wilderness.
Yeah, you're like, you're going to hell because you're drinking at the bar. Like, I've heckled them quite a bit and still at this age.
Yeah. Well, we can get into a whole conversation about them. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yerkron, and we'll be right back on WYAB. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. I was just sitting here thinking, having a conversation with Sean. We're talking about little bars up and down Highway 80. Shout out to the folks down there this morning at the Recovery Room, which is called The Room now. You know, getting that early morning sip on. Shout out to that whole crew.
Are they open right now?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
I was told that they listened to us in there. I know they're listening to Kim Wade in the afternoons.
Okay.
So some common sense somewhere in Jackson. Speaking of common sense, this segment is going to be brought to you by a friend. I hadn't talked about Acme Pizza in a couple days here. Get over to Acme. See Chip and the team, 4 p.m. to midnight every night. As far as I know, they are slinging pizzas later than anybody else in Rankin County. And they are available for delivery. I'm not sure how late your delivery services run. That's past my bedtime, so I haven't personally ordered anything that late. But you, at minimum, you can walk in and carry out or sit down and dine in till midnight. The drive-through daiquiri bar will be open here. They got the window. Chip told me the other day that the drive-through daiquiris will be open here in the immediate future. So be on the lookout for that. It's at Fan and Mart on the Res. Some of the best pizza in Rankin County, right over there. You know where Fan and Mart is, right in front of Fan and Lanes, the bowling alley there. Again, 4 p.m. to midnight, 7 days a week, 12 different specialty pizzas, 9 different frozen daiquiris on tap. And some of the best pasta, meatballs, and appetizers you'll ever have. My buddy Buck Allman and his family went last week and posted a bunch of pictures just raving about how good it was. And, man, it looked phenomenal. Got to get over there and get them dynamite balls. So, heck, it's the girlfriend's birthday today. Maybe we'll go splurge at Acme tonight. Let's see here. Let's take a phone call on the Mazda Jackson phone line. Hey, you're on there.
What's going on this morning, gentlemen?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Not much. They got good possum and dynamite balls over there, too.
Well, you look, that's what I was thinking of when I don't know if I said dynamite balls or not, but I was thinking about them appetizers. I'm like, man, today seems like a good day for some dynamite balls.
Man, that appetizer, that's a full meal.
It is, man. For people that don't know, the dynamite ball is cream cheese wrapped with pulled pork, fresh smoked pulled pork, by the way, not some off-the-cabinet frozen pulled pork. Then it's deep-fried and drizzled with some barbecue sauce. And you got some kind of, like, good dip to put it in, some kind of fancy ranch or something.
That sounds pretty good.
Now, I was wanting to give you a little info there. My boy, they got a friend of theirs. He owns a couple of stores. And he pays them, you know, on the weekends. He pays them $20 an hour to sit out there and eat this for a little while until they close.
Yeah.
Because he cares about his customers and stuff.
Exactly. Man, look, you don't want people out there bugging your customers. You know, all that soliciting. You don't want them out there just posted up on the corner drinking. You know, I watch a ton of YouTube videos that are like Jackson urban exploration type stuff. You know, a lot of these guys like to come down here from out of town and ride through America's worst hoods, and they'll stop. Of course, that ain't what they tell the people they're doing. You know, when they get stopped and interview them at these gas stations, but most all of these gas stations in the hood just got 4 or 5 dudes hanging out front, their pants pulled down below their butt so you can see their nasty underwear. They ain't wearing shirts, drinking 40s. I mean, it's every stereotype you think when you think of ghetto worst hoods in America cities. It's every other gas station in Jackson.
Oh, they asked you to give them some money so they can get some food, because I hit one yesterday, and I said, well, come on here, and I'll buy you something. Well, you just can't give me some money? No, because you're going to go buy a beer with it. You want something to eat? Come in, I'll buy you something. I ain't buying you no beer.
Man, the
girl got onto it.
The homeless bums are the least of the problem. It's the thugs I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. I know exactly. Have you seen the down at Jackson Ice Plant, the homeless, the tent city they got going on in front of it?
I'm going to be honest with you. I try to avoid the Jackson Ice.
Well, I have to work down here, so I'm down at Jim Hill right now. So, all right, let me jump off here.
Appreciate you, Chris. Safe.
Have a blessed one, man.
Thanks. Right.
Thanks for listening this morning.
And when the homeless folks ask me for money for a beer, I always give it to them. Because I'm like, at least they're being honest. And that's the time I always give it to them.
I just have to think, and we've discussed this before, I have to think that the times have gotten harder for them as far as people actually having cash on them.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this a lot. I know. It's got to be really difficult for them.
You know, they keep that QR code pulled up on their $1,000 smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Just Venmo me.
Didn't you tell me that happened to you one time?
No, I wish it would.
Somebody, I thought somebody told me that actually happened to him.
Me and my buddy Bo Rogel were talking the other day. We've kind of hatched a plan here. I think we're going to do it. We're going to go take one of their spaces.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
One of their high volume spaces.
Okay.
Some of that real estate.
Yeah.
And I want to see who's running this operation, because these are high value spots on the corner of Lakeland and 55.
State County High line. Street is a big one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Somebody is deciding who gets to stand there, like a pimp his girls. I want to go run somebody off and just stand there, and I want to see what happens. And I'm going to try to make some money while I'm there, too. So y'all hook a boy up.
speaking of that, that just made me think of something. So I think this must have been, God, this is over 10 years ago, Clay, maybe more than that, 15. The Clarion Ledger actually did a really good article about how much money panhandlers were making in Jackson. Do you ever remember that?
I do remember it. I don't remember the details of it, but it was what, $2,500 a week, a day,
something crazy yeah. like that. Some were making like $80,000-$90,000 a year just panhandling on downtown Jackson for the most part.
Yep.
And I mean, so now I know that was a really old article, but I always think of that when
tax free.
I mean, yeah.
And this idiot mayor in Jackson won't even entertain the idea of them having to get a permit.
I mean, come on. Let's put that on the long list of stuff that we've got to fix before. You know, I agree with you. I'm not saying you don't. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just mean that, like, that ain't ever going to happen. Like, I'm still praying for the traffic signal. So.
Sutton says, stand there and hold a Trump 2024 sign. I would definitely do that. And on the other side, give me a dollar. I need a beer.
You know, Sutton, that's a pretty good idea. Maybe we should try that. I mean, because I think there's probably a lot more people in downtown Jackson that support Trump than you think of.
All right, let's shift gears real quick before I break. Yep. How about some good news? People tell me I don't do enough good news. I've got a buddy out there at Northwest Rankin, and he said, just a heads up, Northwest beat Brandon in baseball 5-0 last night, and the girls' softball beat the crap out of everyone and is ranked number 3 nationally.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
And look, man, Northwest Rankin went through a bad couple weeks there, man. They lost a teacher. Mm-hmm. They lost a student. They lost a student to gun violence. They lost another student that allegedly killed her mom. So there was a lot of bad stuff over there, kind of dark cloud over Northwest Rankin. So good on them for having some good news.
Yeah, that's great. That's really number 3 nationally.
Number three nationally.
That's awesome.
Now look, I don't know how familiar you are with this, Sean, but Mississippi girls softball here, mm-hmm. it's probably our most talent-rich sport.
Really?
Absolutely. Huh. Girls softball, as far as like the depth of how good these teams are. Wow. Now, my sister played, you know, and won multiple state titles and championships, mm-hmm. and played in the World Series and just all this stuff. And this was with the Dixie Darlings.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, my dad was a coach forever.
That's awesome.
Yeah, girls softball here, I would be willing to bet per capita we have more. This is just me shooting from the hip here. I don't even know how you do this, but I would say Mississippi has probably more girls softball, nationally ranked girls softball players than any other sport in relation.
That's a fact I did not know. Wow. So, I would have said baseball, I guess.
And I don't know that to be a fact. I just boots on ground and knowing the parents I know and knowing having been around the sport my whole life, I would bet that we have the best girls softball in the country.
Great. That's amazing. I mean, especially being number 3.
Yep. Let's take a break. All right. Come back, land the plane for the first hour. This is the Clay Edwards Show. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. Just to end the first hour here, kind of on a lighter note, we were talking about, and I've got all your texts here. I do want to read them, but during the break, we were talking about great high school football teams. We kind of took our sports analogy, our sports topic, and we're talking about like great teams from the 90s and 2000s. Sean was saying Moss Point. Well, if anybody knows off the top of their head, when did the Jackson schools kind of take a nosedive? Mm-hmm. I'm curious. The Guns and Gear text line, 769-241-1944. Like, what was the last great JPS football team? Sean was thinking Callaway, maybe?
I think in the 90s it was Provine was really good. Provine, sorry. But I think Callaway's kind of made a resurgence is what I read and I hear around the community.
One of them has over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And it may have been pre-COVID. I can't remember.
I think it was pre-COVID.
Right. COVID just yanked the sports rug out from under me, and I've barely mm-hmm. paid attention since. But, man, I'm going to tell you now, like I told Sean, you know, I hate to kick Jackson while they're down here, but I was told like a lot of these, they've kind of had to redistrict because a lot of these suburban schools don't want to come play at Hughes Field.
Because they get scared. I mean,
you know, they reopened Forest Hills Stadium.
Didn't they?
You know, forever Forest Hill had an on-campus, and the rest of the schools raised hell about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not fair. They're the only school with an on-campus stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Whose fault is that? let's not use a perfectly good football field because it ain't fair.
Where does Provine play?
I would guess Hughes Field.
Is that okay? Yeah.
And the Hughes is the one by Westland Plaza, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where Provine is, though. It's right next to Westland Plaza.
Yeah, I mean, that's where everybody would play. That was where all the home games were played, was at mm-hmm. Hughes Field. because there was nobody had an on-campus stadium except Forest Hill, and they quit letting them use it back in the 90s.
Really? Okay.
Now, they're using it again, but I don't know, because I haven't gone to a JPS game, I don't know if it's a utility field like Hughes where maybe Wingfield could play a home game there. Of course, Wingfield's closing down, so it don't matter. All right.
Wait, is Wingfield closing down?
Yep.
They're one of those. Oh, wow. Okay. Yep.
We'll be right back. 8:07. Stay tuned. Award-winning podcaster, Clay Edwards. You've tuned back in to the Clay Edwards Show. We are live here on 103.9 FM WYAB. I forgot to do my Boom Goes the Dynamite, but Boom Goes the Dynamite. This segment is brought to you by Boykin Contractors in Florence, Mississippi. Boykin will do construction, roofing, remodeling, additions, repairs, and they do it all over the metro area. Guys, I'm telling you, they don't say decks nowhere on this ad read, but I'm just going to tell you, call Boykin, let them do a deck for you, and invite me over for your first barbecue. Me and Sean will come over. We'll do keg stands, funnel some beers.
Shots.
Shots. We'll find some waitresses, do some body shots. Maybe a couple politicians will come over with us.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
You never know.
Allegedly. It's going off the tracks here. Yeah. I'm terrible at doing these ad reads. But look, man, if you need a deck, you got any repairs you need, please reach out to a Boykin Contractors in Florence. They do not approve the middle part of this ad read at all. They're a good Christ-centered business that operate with honesty and integrity, not shenanigans like Sean and myself.
But they did. They do advertise with us, right? There you go. They're good folks.
Well, they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
Good folks, man. Look, reach out to Bryce Boykin and the team today right there, located in Florence, Mississippi. You can check out all their social media. Check out their reviews, all that good stuff, Google, Facebook, etc. Boykin Contractors. Sean, if you keep drinking while we're on the air, I'm going to throw something at you.
Can you hear it, this one? I've got my little water. I thought, see, you get mad when I have my Coke Zero here, but now I went to the big water bottle, and I thought you couldn't hear it. I'm trying to be quiet.
You have to, like, turn around.
I got to turn around and get away. Okay, all right.
And maybe because I have headphones on.
Maybe that could be it, yeah. I moved it to the floor so it wouldn't like make sound on the table. I was thinking about that.
Can y'all hear Sean when he drinks his H2O?
Yeah.
When we're on there.
You know.
Let's see here. Just messing with Sean here.
That's true. I can't
pick on Sean morning.
Yeah, I can't hear it through my headphones. That's but I did move it to the floor.
Let's see here. All right, do we want to do anything serious? We might as well.
Yeah, we got the Goon Squad update, I guess. We can get
with
that.
Yeah, so, what's his name?
Brett McAlpin filed a notice of appeal of his sentence, and I kind of did some digging about this yesterday. And it seems to me that the issue is that he received a higher sentence than a few of the other guys, I think being Middleton and Elward. And Elward was the one that actually did the shooting when the gun went off.
Well, I think everybody was surprised by that when it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody expected Dedmon to probably get the most just based on the depravity.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
I was going to use the same word, depravity of it.
The depravity of his actions kind of as a whole.
Right. All the sexual conduct and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. And, you know, what the other things they know that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think that McAlpin getting 27 and that being more than Elward was weird. And so he's appealing that.
Right. Right. He's he's appealing that to his sentence, not the actual like guilty plea.
Sure.
But his sentencing. And, you know, it's a little different in federal court. You can do, it's a little different than state court. State court, you know, there is a minimum and maximums on crimes. But and some crimes don't, you know, some are no minimums, zero. But in federal court, they do things by a point system. Like you get, you know, certain points and it gives you more time under the federal sentencing guidelines. So they have like a point structure system that goes into this, where in state court, they don't have that. And I think what their argument is going to be that, you know, some of the points that were added to McAlpin shouldn't apply and that he should be more sentenced to be comparable with Elward and Middleton.
And I know sitting here at this point in time in 2024, you're like, well, it's 20 years, 27 years. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, when you get to that 20-year mark and you've only got a couple more, you know, and you should be getting out, or your cohort got out, and you've got seven more to go, or five, or whatever it is, serving 85%. It's 85%, something like that?
Yeah, I think it's a federal crimes, I believe, are around 85%. So, like, I know when people have asked this, like, oh, they're going to do less time, it's different than, you know, in state court, there's certain crimes which are 25% crimes and 50% crimes, and some are day-for-day crimes. But in federal court, generally, the way it's been related to me, it's 85% from pretty much everything. So these guys are going to do majority of the time that they've got. I mean, they're going to get a little few years off at the end, but they're going to do most of it. And, you know, and so, like, yeah, so McAlpin is going to do, you know, something like 23, 24 years, something like that, whatever it is.
Yeah,
well, math. But
you get to the end of that, every day counts.
Yeah, I mean, at his age, too, I think he's in his early 50s, if I'm not wrong. So, I mean, he's going to be in his 70s regardless. And at that point, if he served 24 years, he's going to be, like, in his mid-70s, you know. So, I mean, at that point in your life, it does really, really matter.
I guess we can announce this now, huh? So, starting this Friday, I don't want to give out too many details, but Sean and myself and some other people who will remain unnamed for the time being are starting a podcast.
Yep.
And it's going to be a long-form storyteller type. I've been tinkering with this for a while now, and we're going to do a multi-part series to kick it off with the Goon Squad and all the different layers and aspects. Over probably a 12, 13 week run is kind of what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
We're not pre-recording a bunch of them. We're going to record one every week because this is an ever evolving story. And we don't want to pre-record the whole thing and then be stuck with, oh man, well, this happened and we messed the timeline up type deal. So starting this Friday, we're going to record it Friday, and I will let y'all know when the first one will be released, and we're going to settle on a day. And they'll all be released the same day, same time every week. Maybe it's Mondays, maybe it's Tuesdays. I'm going to do a little research to figure out what the best time for that is. And it's probably going to be runtime of around 2 hours. We're going to take deep dives into every segment of this.
Yeah.
From the 20-year history of it happening, recorded abuse, to the players involved, to the Brian Bailey aspect, to just everything. We're going to try to interview some of the victims, especially from the other abuses, the Robin Hood area victims,
right.
You know, and try to paint a picture of what all happened here. And my goal with this is to be able to show people, as a conservative, as pro back the blue of a guy as you can be, that you can, in fact, call out injustices and still be pro-police, still be a conservative, and all that good jazz. And Sean's going to bring the aspect from the legal background and just his fascination, and I mean that as a compliment, with the legal system and trials and all that type stuff. And we hope we have a really good product for y'all. I think it's going to be something you enjoy. And this ain't going to be just a one-and-done thing either.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be other cases that we look at and we peel back. There's a lot of good stuff out there. I don't want to sit here and pigeonhole us and say everything's going to be Mississippi related, but we got a year's worth of Mississippi related stuff in front of us. And I would prefer to keep it that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of good cases that come out of Mississippi, and there's just so much history here with, you know, especially in the crime, legal system, law enforcement, all those kinds of things. There's stories. And I don't mean
the good old boy network.
Yeah. The good old boy network that we've got here, everybody knows about. I mean, and I mean like some, you know, everybody on air doesn't know this, but in Clay, I tell Clay a lot of the backstories of some of the stuff that I know, you know, that are great stories from cops that are, you know, good stories, like just funny, you know, funny stuff. And so there's all that stuff out there. I think, you know, we'll eventually get to. And but this is kind of, we kind of thought that this was a really good direction to go based on all the people we know and talk to about this case and how this could really take a really deep dive into it that I think people don't, you know, we're seeing from the news articles and we've talked about on air, but here we can really dissect the whole thing. And also that it's ever evolving, like you just said, like it's, we don't know what the future of this holds because it's not near over with.
Yeah. So if you guys listen to the Culpable podcasts and stuff like that tell a story over, you know, a series, that's kind of what to expect here. And there could be one-off episodes where Sean tells, you know, singular stories. And we discuss those, but we're going to come up with a name for it. We've got a few working titles, but I just wanted to announce that because I think it's something to look forward to. If you know any of the victims of the Goon Squad and you think they may want to be interviewed. There's going to be a video aspect to this. It's not going to be just audio. We are doing video with it as well. We would love to talk to them. They don't have to be on camera. They can be off camera if they prefer. It can be a phone call. But if they want to come sit down at the studio with us and be on camera, we would love that too. So really excited about that. And we're going to be recording episode numero numero this Friday. So yep. Should be good stuff there. All right. Instead of taking a break, let's shift gears here a little bit. Another story I want to hit before we get into the Trump stuff is the 14-year-old girl, Carly Gregg, or Carl Gregg, depending on, you know, what all you believe. She's the girl that killed her mother, Ashley Smiley, the Northwest Rankin teacher. I think she was a 10th grade math teacher. She allegedly, I guess you got to still say allegedly, a couple of weeks ago, and then allegedly shot her stepdad. Kingfish was in court yesterday, and I can't explain how good of a job he did translating what happened to his website. I hate to give it all away. I think you should go read it. But I remember for a little bit after this, people were suggesting that, oh, the stepdad may have done it and blamed it on the girl. There's no way she could have done this. I don't know how you can go read the evidence that the county has and suggest anything other than Carly committed these crimes. Very, very gruesome, very just cold and heartless. What do they call it? Depraved heart?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like every now and then people use that term and it's hard to fathom exactly what they're talking about.
I blame me, even as a lawyer, when I first, you know, heard it, like in the statue, it's kind of like, okay, what exactly is a depraved heart? You just don't really know.
And you read this and you're like, that is a depraved heart.
Mm-hmm.
She shoots her mother again. Can I just say one allegedly here and be done with the allegedlies? She shoots her mother multiple times, texts her stepdad from her mom's phone to ask him when he was going to be home, waits on him to come in, and then ambushes him. Then calls her best friend and says, come over, it's an emergency, I need your help, and ask her, have you ever seen a dead body? Like, was that Stand By Me, the movie? Have you ever seen a dead body?
Oh, yeah, that's right, it is, yeah.
Is it Stand By Me?
I think it's Stand By Me.
Same concept. Yeah, no, have you ever seen a dead body? I mean, she was excited about what she had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it removes any doubt of her mental, and I'll still say it, I mean, I don't think she'd be charged. I think she needs to be charged as an adult, and not in the mental thing shouldn't be a deal, mentally ill, whatever. But I think it's obvious that she was mentally ill to be 14 and do this type things. I think it kind of goes without saying.
Yeah, there's a way that works is that it's two different things actually. There's one like it's called like legal competency, whether you're competent to stand trial.
Yeah.
Actually the act of the murder is what's called McNaughton insanity, you know, whether you understood between right and wrong and all those kinds of things. So there's like two different ways to go about it. Like whether, I guess they'll first go and I'm sure they're going to file a motion for a mental exam and see whether she's competent to stand trial.
They did.
They did already. Okay.
And they refused it.
She refused to do it?
Yeah.
I've seen that before.
That's why the bond wasn't lowered past a million, you know, below a million, even though the family was in court all raising their hands saying they wanted the bond lowered and that she wasn't a flight risk. She wasn't none of these.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, no, she's a risk to the community.
Okay.
And they were claiming insanity and she wouldn't even take the mental exam.
Oh, so they tried to evaluate her over at like Whitfield or something and this didn't.
Yeah. So they're saying you can't claim insanity. I'm just using insanity for a catch all here.
Yeah.
You can't claim insanity and then refuse a mental exam.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's a little different. I mean, but I know, like that stage, I think they're probably doing something with mental competency. It's usually when you file that motion, and the insanity defense comes up later, something you would get evaluated for. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, at this stage, I think they're probably testing her for competency.
Well,
I guess.
I don't know if y'all remember me talking about this after it happened. I said that I would not surprise me a bit if we find out this child was on SSRIs, and lo and behold, 1 week before the murders happened, they had switched her medicine, her antidepressants, over to Lexapro.
Did they?
Yep. And, man, that's that one. I mean, I don't want to get sued by Lexapro here, but that's the one that people keep circling back around to. I don't want to say that it causes it, but it is it's always around when it happens.
I think, you know, that could, I guess, not to go down a rabbit hole with that, but I mean, I think we probably agree that this, the culture of all these different antidepressants that we've just been pumping ourselves with for the last, I mean, especially within the last decade,
yeah,
two decades. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know, but it just seems like
it's got to be affecting people genetically, mm-hmm, and almost being able to pass that crazy on to the next person. I mean, it's just like drugs in your system when you get pregnant or you're pregnant or whatever. I mean, mm-hmm, it's got to be doing something. Let's take a call here real quick before we go to the break. On the Mazda Jackson phone line, you're on there. Hello?
Good morning.
Morning.
This topic brings up a subject matter that really is interesting to me, and it kind of bothers me in a way.
Me too.
What we define as a minor. And what I mean by that is, here's a girl, 14 years old. Let's say she's going to be charged or tried as an adult. I have a problem with that, and the reason is this. You can go to war at 18, you can be given the death penalty, you know, at 18, but yet you got to be 21 to get cigarettes. You got to be 21 to be able to purchase beer. You can be 26 and be on your parents' insurance. I mean, I'm sorry, but I have a big problem with all this. We have so many different lines of what's considered a minor and an adult. I know that's obviously going to have many people with different opinions.
I agree. It's a moving. The mm-hmm, scale doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
you know, they can also decide that a guardian, we'll just say a dad, for example, in a divorce is liable for child support all the way through college. You know, once the kid blows past 18, it's adjustable scale there that I don't think makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, look, guys, love the show. It just, this topic just brings up that particular subject line for me. I just can't wrap my head around it. And so anyway, I was just voicing an opinion.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
It's a good point. I mean, I think it makes a good point. It's obviously crimes that carry, you know, life imprisonment, like murder, armed robbery, can be, you can be tried as an adult over the age of 13.
So 60 seconds or less here. Me and you have actually had this conversation. Mm-hmm. I asked you one time, and maybe it was about this case, can somebody be charged with murder as a minor? And you're like, most murder charges are, if you're charged with murder, that's as an adult.
Yeah, I mean, unless like you were like 10, you know, and I've never seen that before, but I think I've seen that like in other states. But if you're over the age, if you're like over 13, then you can be, you know, if it's a crime like murder, yeah, you'll be tried as an adult.
Well, what would the crime, let's just say she was not being charged as an adult, but she did murder. But what is the charge?
I think you're always charged as an adult if it's murder.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's correct. I mean, I've never tried somebody for murder under the age of 18, but I mean, there's plenty of people that commit murder under the age of 18. I've just never been privy to that. But when I've looked it up before, I think you're always charged as an adult if you commit murder, if you're over the age of 13.
Yeah,
I believe that's the right.
So if you don't know, I understand, maybe we can look it up. If you're under, I'm just curious, like, what is the charge under 13?
Yeah, that I don't know. If you're 10 and you killed somebody.
Yeah, is it manslaughter? Is it, if it's just saying, if it's murder, you're an adult, it's a felony, mm-hmm, period.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you're over 13, yeah, then you're charged as an adult if you commit murder. But yeah, if you're like, you know, that's an interesting look up. I don't know if you're like, has there ever been like, I'm sure there's been a 10 or 11 year old that shot somebody, you know, some
intentionally.
State. Yeah. And, you know, and so I don't know how that works. Like, I'd have to, that one I'll have to look up because I've never seen it before.
All right. We'll see if we can find that. This is the Clay Edwards Show with Sean Yarkaron here on 103.9 FM, WYAB. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show. This segment, real quick, brought to you by Southeastern Power Sports, located right there on 51 North in Madison, Mississippi, to be exact, at 1994A Highway 51 North, Madison, Mississippi. That's Southeastern Power Sports for all of your pre-owned ATV sales and service. That's right. But before you go commit to a new one or one off of Facebook Marketplace, see what the good folks over there at Southeastern Power Sports have. You'd always rather do business with a legit business than you would some shady character off of social media. You never know what could happen. I constantly see horror stories about people buying used ATVs off of social media and getting screwed. Anyway, but hey, they're way more than just that. They can handle all of your repairs, tune-ups, oil changes, programmers, wheels, tires, winches, bumpers, windshields, lift kits, and stereo systems for those things. Get over there, see them today. Southeastern Power Sports. If you happen to have a pen handy, I'll give you their phone number. It's 601-707-7837. Veteran-owned, also retired law enforcement-owned. Joe McNamee and his team over there, good, good folks. Old South Jackson dude, doing well for himself. All right, Sean, let's read some text, man.
Yep.
We have a, let's see here. A little bit about football. Spartacus said, Provine High School played in the 5A state championship game and lost to Madison Central in 99. Last good JPS football team. He also says, Clay, please live stream on YouTube. Man, we're efforting it. I promise. We had another talk about it the other day. It involves having to buy another computer here for the studio. So it's on the hit list. It is. I mean, I've been doing one in the afternoon sometime.
Yeah.
I just can't – my schedule's wonky. I can't commit to doing it every day. But I'm with you. I do, in fact, want to live stream the show. Now, I don't know how long YouTube will allow us. It may end up by default being Rumble, not YouTube. But I do want to add a video aspect to the show. Unknown texture here. Youth court law. YC jurisdiction or youth court law. Youth court jurisdiction begins at age 7 to 10. Can only be charged as a child in need of supervision, no matter what they did.
Okay.
This is a status offender. Incorrigible. 10 and above can be charged as a delinquent up to age 18. 13 and up can be charged as an adult for a crime involving a firearm, such as armed robbery or murder.
Yeah, murder.
Over 20 years prior, youth court experience. Thank you for that. I should have pre-read that, but I get what you're saying there. I do appreciate that. Hey, what an eclectic audience we have, right?
No, youth court's a different animal, man. Yeah. There's so many things about it that I've talked to so many different people about aspects of law of it. I don't know. I've never dealt in youth court before, but I just know that, you know, again, like it's a crime of violence or carries a certain penalty, then over age 13, you can be tried as an adult. Which, you know, in Jackson, of course, we've seen with kids that, you know, commit armed robberies that are 15, 16. I've had those situations before.
Yeah, you know, I've been really stern in my thought that parents should be charged at some level. You know, there should be some sliding scale for parents to be held responsible for their children's deadly actions. I don't know that I'm softening on that, but it's so complex on how you would do it that I don't know that you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless it's just an outright...
Like the Michigan people. Yeah.
And frankly, this ain't a popular opinion, and it's not because they're white. Make sure I'm saying this. I don't even know that what they did was wrong unless they gave him a gun and said, here, this is your toy.
Yep.
I think taking him to the shooting range, a kid that's high anxiety, you're trying to think of what's something he enjoys doing and go, no pun intended, blow off some steam, you know?
Did they say that they should have known that he had some mental health issues? It was pretty obvious. I remember reading that.
Apparently he drew some kind of cartoon or drawing or a letter or something the day of the shooting, and they still sent him to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stand with the parents. I don't know, we're getting way down a rabbit hole here. I kind of stand with the parents' argument of there's no way we could have anticipated what he would do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the danger, you know, there's been a lot of cases recently. It seems like we've had like what's they're calling it in other states, they call it involuntary manslaughter. Here, I guess I would refer to it as culpable negligence manslaughter. And I think that's a theory that they had tied the parents in Michigan to. Just kind of like you're seeing what happened to the armorer in New Mexico and Alec Baldwin right now. They're charged with involuntary, negligence.
18 months.
Right. In Michigan, they did the same thing. My question to that, I guess it's looking from a prosecution angle is, you know, what's the extent we go to? And I'll give you a hypothetical here. Like, so let's say a guy, you know, Mississippi, guys love taking their sons hunting, right? and you buy the kid a gun, and you know, and he's learned, teach him to hunt like everybody around here does. Like, nothing wrong with that. And you know, he's got some teenage angst. Who knows? You just don't really know. And you know, his daddy has taught him to shoot a gun, really be good with weapons, which is what we all do here. I mean, which is, you know, it's part of our society. And then he goes out and he shoots some people at his high school. Well, I mean, is it his dad's fault at that point if he didn't? You know what I mean? Like, what? How? Where do we? Where's the line? I guess is what my problem is. What the line is to the culpability of the parents in that situation? You know, it's like, because it seems like to me like you could argue like, well, I mean, he bought him a bunch of weapons. He's got three shotguns and a bunch of rifles, and but I mean, that's just what we do around here. People buy their sons weapons to go hunt. I mean, and so. And you didn't, maybe he just was struggling. He didn't want to, you know, he's a guy. He didn't want to tell his dad about it. I mean, how many times did you tell your dad about something? Or I didn't tell, you know, you're struggling with something when you're that age. And I think, so I think it's just a very difficult thing. It'd have to be a very extreme case. I guess, you know, I don't know all the facts in the Michigan case, but I assume they were egregious enough to rise to that level. According to the jury, I mean, the jury found them guilty, both of them. But I mean, that could have also been the effect of how horrible that crime was committed by their son, that they just needed, like, what I like to call human sacrifices, you know, like everybody's got to go to jail. We don't care if they did it or not. So that may have been it too.
And I obviously have a huge problem with that.
Sure. I mean, so do I, but I'm just the reality of it, you know, is that could have been the reason, but that's also another reason to be scared about it. Because again, where do we draw this line with that parents' culpability for their kids' actions, you know, especially when we're talking about firearms. And I think this state's a pretty good example for that, because everybody is used to teaching their kids how to use weapons. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we do here. So what happens when one of the main, you know, you see a dad get charged because he gave his son a few rifles and he, you know, he didn't know he was going to go do that. So what happens then?
Let's take a call real quick. On the Mazda Jackson phone line. Hey, Jerry. Can't do that. Jerry, call back, brother. Let's take a break real quick. We'll be right back. Welcome back into the Clay Edwards Show here with Sean Yurtkaran. And this segment brought to you by our friends over at Men's Health of Mississippi. Guys, get your testosterone levels checked today. They're doing the free screenings. Just go to menshealthms.com. Get scheduled today. Are you suffering from erectile dysfunction? I know it's an uncomfortable conversation, but it doesn't have to be. Once you get it taken care of, boom, it's in the rearview mirror. It's amazing how quick you're able to talk about things you're embarrassed about when you no longer have to be embarrassed about them. It's like, fixed it. Fixed it.
Or we just don't care anymore. Yeah, then right? You just don't care.
You look over at your girl. Didn't I? Didn't I? Yeah. Yeah. Fixed it. Anyway, that and more. Sleep, focus, motivation, lack of muscle, definition, hard to build muscle in the gym. You could be suffering from low T. Let my friends over at Men's Health in Mississippi check it out. Go see Dr. Micah. And Scott McCall over there, and let them get you taken care of with a free testosterone screening today. MensHealthMS.com, located right there in Madison, Mississippi. MensHealthMS.com. You can always text me if you can't remember any of that. If you ever want just some personal a personal review of it, if you got any questions about testosterone replacement therapy, I'll give you my personal opinion on all of it, as I've been doing it for 16, 17 months now. Sean's right behind me on that.
About a year, yeah. Almost a year.
Been a game changer. Sean has gotten way more muscles since I first met him.
Yeah, it's really been great for working out. I tell you what, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it's awesome for that. I mean, it's really awesome.
Anything that works so good for the little bit of money this cost, like the ROI versus what I'm spending, it is the best investment money wise I have made into myself ever.
I've said that to you a million times. I can't wait till Monday when I take my shot. I just feel, especially the first couple of days when you take it, you feel great.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a call here on the Mazda of Jackson phone line. Hey, you're on there.
Hey, Clay, it's Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah, just to go off what you guys were talking about before you went to break, as far as it's just a general premise of parents being on the hook. I know a lot of people say, you know, when they see a bad kid, in the news, a lot of times we just assume bad kid means bad parents. And I think as parents, we know, you know, I got three boys and they are all across the spectrum, at least on this side of being, you know, locked up in prison, all across the spectrum. So, you know, bad kid doesn't equal bad parent. And you have to, just because, you know, you buy your kid something and they abuse or misuse it, doesn't mean you made a mistake. I mean, if what you did was legal, you did something that's otherwise legal, and the kid did something that was illegal with it.
Scott, let me say this real quick. You know, we always just associate it with guns, but for example, what if you buy your 16, 17-year-old young boy his first car? It's a Mustang GT. It's a Corvette. It's any of these things that we know young men are going to want to go fast in. You can make the same argument for or against the parent having some negligent responsibility or lack thereof there. Say, like, hey, you knew that you bought him a fast, a race car for his first vehicle, and given the history of young men and fast cars, I'm just playing this out in different scenarios in my head to make it make sense or to be against it.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I would take it. I would also look at a different aspect. It wouldn't be a viable defense for a parent, but in a case like the one you guys are talking about. But I mean, parents also traditionally can't hold them to the same standard that was held to for the last 100 years for parents. When law enforcement is neutered, prosecutions have completely gone to nothing and been politicized. I think we know that depending on which side of the spectrum you're on in particular jurisdictions, either you can get away with anything or you're going to be found guilty of something no matter what. So, you know, in this legal environment, I mean, look at Jackson. Certain demographics in Jackson can do what they want, and it just doesn't matter. And then you go one county over, and it completely changes, and there's no consistency in the law. And in law enforcement, and parents have relied on that. Hey, I don't have to wag my finger at my kid that much because he's going to get a ticket if he speeds. He'll figure it out. Well, nobody's writing tickets. Nobody's doing anything. Law enforcement's just hanging out because they're scared to do their job because they're going to go to, you know, the chief doesn't support them. The DA doesn't support them. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different factors that go into what's happening in our society, and blaming the parents is just that's the easy button, I think. But still, you'd have to have the burden of proof. It'd have to be beyond a reasonable doubt. So I know it's getting late. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Enjoy the show.
Hey, always enjoy your call, Scott. Always good to hear from you. Thanks, brother. Yeah. And look, I have made videos about this. I'm on record saying I think parents should be arrested on some level. After some burden of proof, like you said, it's like your 16-year-old kid gets arrested for stealing a car. The court puts in place, kind of like drug court, they put in place, like, these things have to happen. The kid's got to stay in school. The kid's got to be on house arrest. They've got to do probation. They got to take drug tests. If they check all these boxes off over the next 12 months or whatever the probationary period is before they turn 18, you're good to go. But if you can't keep the kid in school, you can't keep him out of jail, and he goes and commits a crime, you're going to burden some of the responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I get the theory. I mean, obviously, the parents should be responsible for their kids, and if they commit, you know, I just, you know, my only concern, like I was saying in the last segment, is just like, what's our line? What's our point? Yeah. And then it causes, I think, the problem is you have such a, like he was just saying, inconsistency in enforcement of how that's going to be enforced. I mean, well, and then, because right now, like, a murder is a murder. You know, you kill somebody in Hines County, you kill somebody in Rankin. I mean, it's, you know, you get charged with murder for the most part. And I mean, yeah. I know there's different situations, but does somebody get more harshly punished for that in Rankin than they do Hines, or vice versa? I don't know. I just think it's a hard, it's a very difficult standard, I think, to consistently prosecute.
What's the standard we don't live up to now?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, it's true. And, you know, I'm not saying either is I'm not saying either is good or like, okay, I don't think over enforcement is good either, right?
I'm with
you. I don't think under enforcement is good. So,
you know, we talked in the break. Well, what do you do if we're taking like one of these fatherless homes?
Mm-hmm.
And we just use a fatherless as a catch all here. I know there's motherless homes too, with kids being raised by good fathers. But the fatherless home seems to be the prevailing deal here.
Across racial lines, I would say,
too. Across racial lines, 100%. So if a father just opts out, I mean, the kid's born, has never paid a penny of child support, and legally owes it,
mm-hmm.
has made the choice not to be in that child's life at all, I think you bear some responsibility for the abandonment issues, potentially, that come with you deciding that that's society's burden, not yours.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could see that, but I can also see the other argument saying that, like, well, he didn't know that the kid was doing all this bad stuff because he wasn't around. He just took off, you know? I mean, he could counter with that, which is not good, but then you're saying
I get it.
The reason he's... No, I mean, yeah. I think both things can be true, you know? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's, you know, we talk about effing around and finding out a lot around here,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'm always a believer of they need to start making some examples out of some people, and yeah. a lot of this stuff will stop. You start making some examples out of some absentee parents, and start you charge them with, oh, hey, little Timmy went off and killed little Tommy, and Daddy was nowhere to be found when they was crying for whatever, you know. And then, you know, Dad start thinking, man, maybe do I need to be involved in my kid's life? And then somebody's always, I think you've made the point that that ain't how it works. The enforcement of crime doesn't prevent other crime, little Timmy
yeah.
ain't gonna see somebody get charged, ain't gonna stop them from doing it.
Yeah, I've always said that, you know, nobody stops robbing a liquor store and shooting the clerk because then they're going to get the death penalty. That's kind of like my example. And I mean, it's just, I don't know that the deterrence factor of punishment, I think it works in certain aspects, but I don't think it's, you know, just the end all be all where everybody's like, oh God, this is going to happen to me, so I'm not going to do it. I think a lot of us do. I mean, I know I don't commit. Well, I wasn't going to do that anyway, and you weren't going to do that anyway. But I think for your average person who's a criminal, they're just not thinking about, you know, they're not thinking about the consequences to those things.
60 seconds or less. In Tennessee, they have the DUI assist law. So the passenger can get a DUI if they're in the car with somebody driving drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would deter more DUIs down here? I don't even know the numbers up there, if it does or not. We're talking about deterrence.
Like, you're supposed to talk your buddy out of not driving drunk?
Yeah, who's less drunk? And your buddy decide it's your buddy, well, then you get a DUI for your buddy driving drunk.
Like you're an accessory before the fact to DUI. It almost sounds like.
Yeah, like two heads are supposed to be better than one.
Yeah, I find it like, because, well, then you agreed to get in the car with a drunk guy and you encouraged him maybe to drive home because you were less drunk than me. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I've never really thought, I didn't know that was a law.
Yeah. I would be a three-timer quick, son.
Man, I would have, yeah. I'm just like drinking all the times. Like, I'm like, bro, you only had four. I mean, I had 10.
I'm over here trying to coach my buddy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, back, you know, in the day.
Drink some coffee. You know, yeah. Like, you're good. Like,
put this roll of pennies in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a break, come back, land the plane for the day. Welcome back in the last minute of the day here, Sean. I had a good time today.
Yeah, man.
The text line was just – the Guns and Gear text line was melting today. We had a couple of great calls on the Mazda Jackson phone line. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the texts, guys. You know, like I know, sometimes we just get to talking, and it is what it is. Look, I'm guessing by Friday, next time we have Sean back in here, we'll really take a deep dive into this Trump stuff, this trial. It'll be a couple more days old. Right now, all we got is they're mad at Trump. They're accusing him of falling asleep, which I would too. They're accusing him of intimidating a juror.
The falling asleep thing, man, is totally – I've said that so many times. So when you're trying the case, obviously you're completely alert and onto it. But people always come up to me like, would you like – I would love to be on a jury. I would love to – I'm like, no, you wouldn't. It's the most boring thing humanly possible.
We'll see you Friday. Peace.